We're just getting old and boring. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we have some brand new geeky boners to discuss. Nick's going to talk about some old games that he's been playing, and Tim and Molly basically talk about Disney World.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hey!
And Molly Glover.
Tis I, Molly Glover.
It tis. And it is time for a Geeky Boners episode!
Boing!
Clank.
Honk.
Which means we're going to talk about this stuff that has us totally swollen with excitement, and likely there are going to be dick jokes.
Oh, yeah. So many dick jokes.
We are here in the beautiful living room studios at Deepwood Mott.
Yes.
Celebrating a wonderful winter day in Minnesota. And by wonderful winter day, I mean it's shitty.
And by celebrating, we mean cowering.
Still fucking cold.
Yeah. To keep our house cold. Sorry if you're chilly.
No, my house is colder than yours.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry.
Yeah.
So, nice. But we're going to talk about boners. We're going to talk about what has us excited on this bleak
their girth,
winter day.
Measure their length. Weigh them in our hands.
Yeah.
We want to start with your boner. Tell us what you're excited about right now.
Well, so over the holidays, with on-call money from work and bonus money and strategic Christmas gift requests, I put together...
The money I got from all the blowjobs I gave. Yep.
I put together a gaming computer, something I haven't done in quite a while, that used to be maybe my primary hobby.
Right.
And so there's this 10-year backlog of games, some of which I actually already own on Steam and tried playing on my laptop, but either couldn't play or struggled through and it's worth playing them again or whatever. So... the very first thing I installed and played in all its 4K glory was the War of the Chosen XCOM 2 expansion, which is almost like its own game worth of content. And I just fucking cruised through it because I love XCOM. And I could fill any amount of time playing XCOM ever for the rest of my life. Like any of them except for the Flight Sim and maybe Terror from the Deep. I don't know.
Even, I feel like I can confirm this information.
Even Terror from the Deep.
Like you've talked about XCOM before. Right?
Yeah, it's a great strategy, like tactical grid combat. But you're also researching and managing your scientific development and the training of your troops and that sort of thing. So there's strategy and then there's also like tactical stuff too. I really appreciate it. It's known for being kind of a more difficult series of games typically, I would say, or a little unforgiving. Even if you're save scumming, it can still be pretty hard. So I just beat that and then I went on to play...
What's save scumming?
Save scumming is when you...
Sorry, my brain was like, that's a word that he said.
It's when you, like, you do something where you, like, line up a shot, and then you save your game, and then you take the shot, and if you miss, you load your save.
Oh, sure.
So
I did that a lot in Jagged Alliance.
Right, and that's a perfect example of a game. Jagged Alliance and XCOM, very similar.
All right. I save scummed a
lot. And so, like, I really only do it when I'd make a mistake, like, accidentally have someone rush way too far forward.
Sure.
And then they'd, like, discover a squad of aliens who
and
would
they
all
just get torn to pieces.
They're just like, oh, well, that person's gonna die this turn.
Yeah.
They have a hardcore mode where you can only save when you quit the game. So every decision is permanent.
Okay.
But I didn't do that. So then I played the most recent Deus Ex game, the Mankind Divided, which my preferred way to play those games is non-violent or non-lethal and stealth and hack.
Interesting.
So I kind of snuck and hacked my way through the entire game with I think I only killed like one or two people.
Can you incapacitate people?
Yep. You can get stun guns. You can walk up behind people and knock them out.
So it's like Star Wars style.
Drag their bodies.
You don't kill anybody. You just, yeah.
You can, though. You can totally murder everyone. But you drag their bodies off into a vent so no one finds them and shit. And
neat.
Starts an alarm. I think I did kill some people at a bank by turning the automated weapon systems on friendly fire. But I didn't pull the trigger, so I don't think it counts as me killing people.
Which is, what does that mean?
Like ceiling-mounted turrets and robots that patrol an area.
Yeah.
I hacked them and turned them on the the people who work in the building, so like they killed all the guards.
How is that different from you pulling the trigger of a gun?
I didn't even see it happening. It all happened in another room.
It may or may not have even occurred.
Oh, you're crazy.
Whatever. You Obama drone people. Strikes. Obama drone strikes.
Obama killed those people, too.
Yeah. And then, so, there was something else that I was playing that I kickstarted that is going to be next. Oh, pardon me. The Torment, Tides of... Numenera game, which is like a Baldur's Gate style RPG, but it's in that Numenera game system and world that is kind of sci-fi fantasy. I kickstarted it and it ran so bad on my MacBook that I'm going to play that and then Wasteland 2, which I kickstarted and I haven't played yet.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. So I got stuff waiting for me to play. It's fun.
So if you're listening, you should know that what you want to do is give enough blowjobs over Christmas break. Build yourself a new computer and you can play the same games Nick played.
Yeah.
And then, you know what it'll do? It'll give you a boner so somebody else can give you a blowjob.
That's right.
I don't know if you'll have any money left over to get your own blowjob, but...
But if you don't, you know what you can do? Give a blowjob.
Give a blowjob, and then you can afford one.
The circle of blowjobs.
Oh, man.
All right, Molly.
Yes.
What is your boner?
My boner right now is... I pretty much can't do anything except think about going to Disney World.
Disney World!
We go to Disney World on the 1st, and I am so...
I think you'll be in Disney World when this episode goes live.
Oh, man.
You'll be there.
I'm so excited. We haven't gotten to take a vacation, just the two of us, since our honeymoon.
Which we took for as our 1 year anniversary.
Right. So it's been like 9 years since we've gotten to go anywhere together. Just the two of us for a real vacation and not some
a
kind of...
A weekend at a con.
Yeah, a weekend at a con or like away for someone's wedding.
Right.
Is you know, that's not a true vacation. You're,
sure.
It's like, that's a trip, right? A working trip in a way for wonderful friends. But like you... So it's just the fact that we have no agenda other than just go and have a good time is so appealing right now that, like, it's been so long. And so I'm very excited about that. And also, as you listeners will know, we went on our one-day trip to Disney World during Tropical Storm Colin, which was almost a hurricane.
Right.
We drove from Naples to Orlando, which was 4 hours. And got to Disney World at 9 a.m., at which point it started to rain at 10. I was having a really bad gastritis attack the entire day, so I was in pain real bad all day. And then hurricane winds and rains.
Yep.
A lot of shit was closed. We had park hoppers, so we just kept going to different places. We had a great time, despite the hilarity of everything. But the chance to get to do it over and not have a one-day...
Yeah.
A thing and get to have some pacing in our vacation is very exciting.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So I'm very excited about that. We're gonna make some dinner reservations here later.
Yeah,
and,
we got tickets to go do the Star Wars Secret of the Empire, the hyper reality, like
it's like a VR game.
It's AR.
Uh-huh.
So you wear a screen and like laser tag vests and stormtrooper guns that you have the screen over your face adds a layer of computer graphics over everything you see through the visor.
So everyone looks like a stormtrooper to you. But they're moving with their own bodies.
Yeah.
We were going to
do that on our most recent trip and the timing didn't work out, so we never went and did it, I'm very... Very excited to hear how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's mine. I'm just, there's not much to say about it, you know, really, just because, like,
It's fucking Disney.
It's Disney World, y'all.
How many days are you going to be there?
We're going to be there 6 days. Yeah. And we're just doing the whole magic bus thing. So basically, we take our flight leaves, I think, at like 8 a.m. We should be getting to the park. We're going to Magic Kingdom the first day. So we'll probably just be getting there by 1:30 and just getting off the bus and going. They'll take our bags and they'll put all our stuff in our room and we can just go basically like take a bus from the airport to the park and go to the park.
Yeah, where are you staying?
Caribbean Beach.
Caribbean Beach.
Caribbean Beach. Caribbean Beach. Now I'm sleeping by the beach. It's going to be the whole week. It's going to be like that.
Everybody in the bus is just going to be like, oh my fucking God.
Everyone will hate us as much as everyone hates us when we're together.
Oh, it's those two fucking Minnesotans that's so loud.
They're so happy. Look at them, free of the burden of children and just spending money. And laughing together.
Are they drunk? God damn it, I think they're drunk. Oh.
Those motherfuckers don't even look stressed.
Are you going to drink around Epcot? Are you going
to
do that?
I don't know. We're definitely going to spend a whole day at Epcot. So we've got,
We have like the test track reserved by Fastpass on one day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a day we'll be at Epcot for sure.
But we're not sure if we're doing the park hopper things that we can like. We picked our fast passes in blocks, so it's like, okay, cool. So from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we'll definitely be at this park. But then we can do whatever we want, and so...
I'd be up for trying to drink our way around Epcot.
I'd be up for it, too.
My understanding, and obviously I'm not an expert, but my understanding about drinking around Epcot is you do not start at Mexico, because Mexico has the margaritas, and they're apparently huge, and if
tequila.
That's the first thing you drink, it'll wreck you.
And see, that's
the
problem.
But then the other option is to start on Canada with beer, right?
Yeah.
Someone said?
I think Nick can maybe do it. I don't think I'll be able to do it, to be perfectly honest, just because like I've been having so much stomach issues, and drinking around Epcot's probably not the best thing for my stomach.
Yeah, there's 11 pavilions, and the only one, I think you still get something to drink in Morocco, but it's... Since they're a Muslim country, I don't think there's any booze in
Morocco.
It's
probably like tea or something.
You gotta drink tea or coffee or something.
Yeah, what I'll probably do is like, I might join you for like 4 of those 11 countries, but I don't drink that much these days.
No, I was just curious. Obviously, I've never done it myself, so I can't offer you any pointers.
Yeah, but we were thinking one of the, so we were looking at all the like, you know, the fanciest restaurants. We were thinking about maybe eating at the one at the Animal Kingdom, which is this like crazy, amazing looking African restaurant that looks super good with like the fire oven things like near the tables. Like,
right.
Like they bake all, it's like clay oven baked food and things like, right. It's super neat looking. So
there's a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
I'm excited for
you were just at Disney, right? Tim?
I was literally, I got home from Disney yesterday.
I know. Are you still hard?
I'm still hard.
Yeah. Cause you were, what's your boner?
My boner is Disney adjacent.
Okay.
Shall we say my boner is Star Wars right now. Just because, part of it was, we had a great time in Disney, but they're working on Star Wars Land, which opens in 2019. It opens early 2019 at Disneyland, somewhere around summer 2019 at Disney World. You can see the cranes from Hollywood Studios, so you can see what's going on. They've got a whole bunch of stuff up, but the really cool thing is when we went back this time, there is a gate that is built.
I saw your picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it is the gateway, and it looks Star Wars-y.
Yeah.
And that was super exciting. And when you walk... This is so sad. When you walk out of Muppet Vision 3D, there are these grates that are at the back of Muppet Vision 3D, and you are now up against the place where Star Wars Land is going to happen.
Okay.
And the grates are angled down so they can let in light, but you can't actually see through them.
Okay.
And so a ton of people, as they're walking out, are kind of like looking underneath the grates to see what if they can get any kind of glimpse of what's going on.
But there's nothing.
In Star Wars Land. So, and I don't know. I'm likely to get a call from Disney lawyers for this, but... Pat was like, well, all you got to do, and she takes her cell phone, she turns on the video, she slides the cell phone up the little slat,
nice.
And then brings it back down, so we all got a little bit of a look at what was going on behind there. And there's a whole bunch of construction, a couple of big buildings. There's supposed to be a Millennium Falcon ride they're making. I don't know anything about the ride technology they're going to use for that. It's probably going to be a lot like the Flights of Passage ride.
I saw your picture of the gate had like a Wile E. Coyote style painting of like what it will look like through the gate, which is super funny. Like it looked like you could run into it. Like,
And the picture on my Facebook page said, "Dear Disney, build faster."
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
But it was it's just been like while we were there, we went to see The Last Jedi again because we were just like, we're at Disney and Disney has all this Star Wars shit, and we just wanted to go see Star Wars.
Totally.
Right? And friend of the show Adam Treese. Patreon supporter Adam Treese was there with us, and he and I got totally into making pretty much every porn joke we could possibly make the entire time we were there, to the point that we were in when you walk off of Star Tours, which is a great ride, and right now it's totally Last Jedi themed. So,
oh, fun.
That's exciting.
So, like, one big chunk of it takes place on the crystal planet.
Oh, great.
Cool.
It's salt. It's salt.
I tried to taste it, but I couldn't. they had this huge bucket of porgs in the Star Wars shop. And Adam and I had been making porg jokes all week, and I walk up to him, and he's holding a porg. I'm like, oh, are you getting a porg? He's like, no. I'm like, what? You're holding onto a porg, and he holds up the one that is in his other hand. He's like, I'm getting two so we can each have one. And I'm like, yes! So I have my own porg now.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have my own porg, and it is totally a porgable. And I'm sorry, just it comes out that way.
It's super cute, and like I love that they always look distressed. All the dolls and the porgs look
distressed. Yeah, they look disapproving.
Yeah,
my porg looks super upset that I bought it, and super upset that I put it on my pillow every night. I was pretty much an embarrassing child, but
amazing.
It just got me being there so soon after Last Jedi came out. Being there with some, you know, it was great being there with Adam and Nan Miller, who they both, and Pat, all of us really love The Last Jedi, so, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of Last Jedi stuff there.
Yeah, of course.
My general rule is anything with Rey on it, I buy just to get them to make more stuff with Rey on.
Right, right.
But one of the really great things was walking around that park and seeing how many little girls were dressed as Rey.
That's my favorite thing. I'm so excited for that because, like, little kids in costume.
Little girls.
Dude, yes. Little kids in costume at Disney World is one of my favorite things, especially.
You can't wear costumes.
Kids can wear costumes.
Here's the rules. Kids can wear costumes. Adults cannot.
Yep.
So what happens, and this is actually
because no one's going to confuse a 6-year-old in a Tinkerbell dress for the real Tinkerbell.
And that's exactly the problem. They don't want people confusing customers for
actual
characters.
The Renfest problem.
If you can build a kick-ass Cinderella dress that looks better than the one they put on Cinderella, and you look like Cinderella, suddenly you're representing the park, even though you don't. So
even though you haven't gone through their reportedly insane training.
Oh, their insane training is insane.
I get it. I totally get it. I just thought it was everyone, but I didn't know it was just adults.
No, the kids can do it, and there were so many girls in Rey costumes, which I thought was fantastic to see little girls dressed up in Star Wars outfits.
When we were there a couple of years ago, my favorite kids were the ones in like other costumes, like Ninja Turtle stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Or like the one kid who's like Batman with his sisters as princesses.
Oh, I want to dress up too.
Yeah. We saw a kid wearing a dinosaur hoodie that was like going around like rah, rah, rah.
But I will tell you to look for this, which is kind of cool because there's a thing called Disney bounding, where adults will basically come up with outfits that look like Disney characters. You'll see like somebody walking around, a lady walking around in, say, a poodle dress that's like red with white polka dots with a bow in her hair, and she's Disney bounding Minnie Mouse.
Sure, okay.
Right.
Okay.
And you will see all sorts of really cool outfits.
I'll wear my Han Solo dress.
For instance, that's the kind of stuff that gets done all the time.
Awesome.
If you bring your Han Solo dress, people will lose their shit.
Well, now I know I'll be solo bounding. Not solo bounding.
So you wear your Han Solo dress.
Yeah.
And I'll go naked and wear a purse over my chest. And we'll Dizzy Bond Han Solo and Chewbacca together.
Yeah, that'll be great.
In fact, they make Chewbacca boxers. You don't even have to be naked. We can do this legally.
Well, I think you gotta wear a shirt.
In Florida?
Anyway, back to my boner.
Yeah.
Because my boner is important until we stroke it enough. It's just the fact that, you know, we were someplace where there were people just loving Star Wars, where there's so much new Star Wars stuff coming up. And yeah, it's all for money, and I don't give a shit. Because
it's all for money.
Yeah. Right. That's what it all is, and you got to kind of accept that that's the way it works. But life. But that's the way it is. So that's all our boners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all our boners. And we are down to our last set of answers.
It's a good one.
So that's the good news.
Charles Hubble.
Charles!
That's a good one.
Going out on a really good one, you guys.
We got to get you back on the show, man.
Not saying that other ones aren't great, but I'm just saying Charles has given us some great answers here.
Charles knows how to answer questions. He really does.
I'm into it.
So that's his thing. Nick.
Yo.
What's the first question?
Our first question is, what conspiracy theory do you find the most interesting or compelling?
I'll go with the one that annoys me the most, and that is the conspiracy theory around the murder-suicide of Minneapolis filmmaker David Crowley. Ah. David was a young military veteran and saw combat, though I couldn't tell you where. He was incredibly intelligent, focused, and disciplined. David and I have worked together a few times. The first time was on a never-to-be-completed picture, which was a space adaptation of The Sea Wolf called Into the Void. The second time was on David's project called Gray State. This is the culmination of a number of conspiracy theories, both humorous and frightening. David was trying to pull in hidden underground bunkers, lizard people, interdimensional travel, angels, demons, one world government, and Illuminati. I don't think I've listed everything, and some had more significance for him than others. Through the years that Gray State was in production, David went further down the rabbit hole. Then, perhaps as a result of PTSD, depression, and paranoia, he killed his wife, young daughter, and then himself. The conspiracy community that he involved himself in immediately assumed that he and his family were assassinated. Because of my involvement with Gray State, I endured a couple of years of messages asking me about his alleged assassination.
Jesus.
It was maddening and annoying. David was a disturbed and sick young man, and I'm still angry at him for what he did. I remember when this happened, because I was friends with Charles and him posting articles about this. He and his wife, they were friends with David and his wife. Like, it was the Crowleys. Like, it was this was a huge fucking thing. Like, and I can totally understand getting mad at conspiracy theory nuts, but trying to make it about something bigger than it was.
When you get past the humor and ridiculousness of conspiracy theories, there is the fact that this thing causes people real pain.
Absolutely.
The conspiracy theories around, like, the school massacres, where they're all like, well, it's the government, you know, doing a false flag operation. And it's like, do you understand that when you go after these parents who lost their children to a crazed gunman, you are causing them real pain? Well, and you don't believe it because you believe they're lying.
Absolutely.
As amusing as many of these answers are, that answer kind of reminds you that.
Honestly, it's a great one to go out on. I'm telling you, because it's a great set of answers.
All right. Question number two. What is your perfect 2-week vacation money? Is no object, but physics is a limiting factor.
First week at the Mandarin Hotel in New York, and the second week at the Mandarin Hotel in London. Each night I would see spectacular shows, and during the days I would see the sights. That sounds amazing. I've never been to the Mandarin Hotel, but obviously he's got some brand loyalty there.
Well, he does, but
they must be beautiful hotels.
Yeah. Having been to London a couple of times, and what I've never been to New York for more than a day, but what I loved about London was being able to go to shows every night. And I mean, it really was that thing. You'd go and see the cool shit about London during the day, and you would have a ticket to a show at night.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was a great experience.
Someday so. I'll have the money to that would be it. Because, like, the one time I went to London with my mom, and we had tickets to see, like, a couple shows. But when the few times I've ever been in New York, I've been there for work, but I also, even though I had the nights free, you know, I didn't have the money to be able to spend on that. So I think that would be super fun.
Next time I get Pat to Europe, that's my hope, that we can do a week in London and just do some cool stuff
there. I've never been.
Yeah.
Question three. What is a movie or a book that changed your life?
I saw The Exorcist sometime in the fall of 1984. Freaked the hell out of me. I was a born-again Christian at the time, which contributed to my fear of the devil and being possessed. I was at a party with high school friends. I could barely watch it. I'd have to run to another room, freak out, and then try to come back in to finish it. Despite that, it spurred me on to learn more about movie making and storytelling. But it was also a start of some doubt in my faith, which would ebb and flow throughout high school. At the time, I was already interested in acting, but it seems that this movie got me curious that doing movies would be something I enjoy. I'd watch Exorcist many times over the years. Exorcist, the original theatrical version, is still one of my favorite films, and I've seen it and all the many versions and sequels. I actually enjoy Exorcist 2 a great deal. Brad Dourif's performance in that is mesmerizing. That's cool. It doesn't hurt that The Exorcist has that weird, another conspiracy theory, but that weird, like, pall of deaths that hung over all the productions.
It's a haunted movie.
No, that's not The Exorcist. No, I'm wrong.
The Omen, isn't
Poltergeist.
It? Oh, no, Poltergeist?
Poltergeist.
Oh,
I'm wrong.
Like the little girl in
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist,
yes. Poltergeist is the one that has that.
Never
the Exorcist.
Charles,
right,
sorry, shit Charles. All over your movie.
No, I've only seen The Exorcist once or twice, and I was never afraid of demonic possession, so that's never been something that's ever scared me. It didn't.
But
it just
I can
didn't.
See how
I was super afraid of vampires, but for some reason that scared me, but not demons.
Not demonic possession, aren't you? Okay, question number four. What is the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
I became a professional puppeteer. Does that count?
Yeah, it really does.
It's pretty
heavy.
Yeah.
It really does. He's a really good puppeteer, too.
Yes,
he is. We should link to some of the stuff that Charles
Absolutely.
Has done. Absolutely. Good, really excellent work.
Our final question. What is your favorite hangover cure?
Puke, water, sleeping in the darkest hole I can find.
Oh, yeah.
See, it's a real hangover. This was great. Absolutely delightful.
If that was the last group of answers to this five questions, it would be great. But it doesn't have to be the last group. It
doesn't have to be.
Because you just have to write answers and email them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. And we can keep doing them. And they are a good set of questions. I've been very... I love the answers to the conspiracy theory
Agreed.
Stuff.
We would probably accept them as a Facebook message.
Yeah.
Yep.
To Geeks Without God.
If for some reason you didn't want to email, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think that... Well, we're don't worry. Like, it's not that the whole segment's going to go away if we don't get more.
No.
We'll come up with something.
Yeah.
But we're definitely going to keep these questions going for a while. So,
We aren't ready to give up on them. We hope you aren't either. If you also are not interested in giving up on us, you should probably support us on Patreon.
That would help.
Our Patreon listeners have already heard this episode. They already know that Molly and Nick are spending this week in Disney. They may be messaging Molly and Nick to ask them to buy them certain souvenirs.
The
while they're there.
No.
I don't know what they'll say, but my guess is they'll say no. We will see. We hope you've enjoyed your exploration of our boners. I know we are the only podcast that shows off our erections just every few weeks for the world to see.
If you pop one, they will come.
as they say.
It's from a movie.
As they say in Boner Dreams.
Field of penises.
Field of boners is better.
Field of boners is better.
Yeah.
Field of
all
boners.
Right. So.
Like waving wheat just gently against your face.
Actually,
and hands.
Just looks a lot like Pussy Willows.
It's a super warm field.
I thought I was going to finish this well, but I failed. So, goodbye.
Bye.
If you stroke it, he will come.
We're geeks without God. Moral authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
you think they get flaccid at night?